Well, today we are in the very last book, chapter, I should say, of the book of Genesis, and it's a very short one. So chapter 50.
Then Yosef fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Yosef commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for it, for that is how many are required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. And when the days of weeping for him were past, Yosef spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, I am about to die in my tomb that I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan. There you shall bury me. Now therefore, let me please go up and bury my father. Then I will return. And Pharaoh answered, Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear. So Yosef went up to bury his father. With him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as the household of Yosef, his brothers, and his father's household. Only their children, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Yarden, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw that the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians. Therefore, the place was named Abel Mitzrayim. It is beyond the Yarden. Thus his sons did for him as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. After he had buried his father, Yosef returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Yosef's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, It may be that Yosef will hate us and pay us back with all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Yosef, saying, Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Yosef, Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of God, of the God of your father. Yosef wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, Behold, we are your servants. But Yosef said to them, Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and for your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Yosef remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Yosef lived 110 years. And Yosef saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Yosef's own. Then Yosef said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Jacob. Then Yosef made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Then Yosef died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt.
Well, that's the end of the story. Any thoughts? Any comments? Anything? Ah, there we go. The second youngest. Okay. Benjamin was the younger.
And then he died first?
Yes, he died first. It appears that he died first. All the other ones remained alive for a while. Yes.
It's kind of interesting that for the time that Israel was in Egypt, they had in the back of their mind, they had to take Joseph home. when you have something to focus on that reminds you who you are, it helps you keep your perspective. All that time, they knew Joseph still had to go home.
That's brought up in the next book. Yes.
The word embalmed. Can you expound on that?
A little bit, yeah. It's not a complicated word.
And the fact that they mourned for was it Jacob all that time? 40 days?
Yes.
And also the Shiva, is that where Shiva comes in? Where seven more days?
Oh, that's what Joseph. Yeah, that's just as Joseph is 7 days for him.
Oh no! Bury his father. Wait a minute. Wait, what does it say?
I missed it there.
Shiva here on verse 10. Mourning for his father 7 days. So
yeah.
Is this the very first time that 7 days was put in place?
Oh, for mourning?
For mourning? Probably not.
That's a good question. I guess so. I don't remember. I'm sorry, where? Joseph. Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We'll get to Job. When I come back, I'm going to break from the Torah for a while. And we're going to go into the book of Job. And the reason is because a lot of things in there that are extremely important for us. I will try my very best to make it as short as possible because an awful lot of people have ideas and thoughts about it. So when I come back, make sure you read chapter 1 and chapter 2. And maybe 3 and 4. We'll probably see if I can cover up to 4 chapters in one session. It's a lesson there for us to see. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, that being said, the word embalm, it basically in Hebrew means in a sense to what we think would be to embalm. You embalm with spices or was also to embalm to ripen it so that it can be preserved. And basically, it's what they did. They embalmed. Yes.
Wouldn't Joseph's body have been mummified according to Egyptian tradition?
I would say yes, because he was the second most important person in all of the Egyptian history. He would have been embalmed exactly the same way Egyptians would have done it. Because the Egyptians did it. It says here that Joseph commanded his servants. So Joseph would have been accustomed to and used to what was called embalming. Now I know that some people have a negative idea about that today. That's unimportant to my mind. That's what took place. And whether we like it or think it's godly or ungodly, sinful or gracious, I don't know. It's up to your thinking and your belief system. But it just means to it has to bring forth something to preserve it. That's basically what that embalming means in the simplicity of the matter. Yes.
The Egyptians, did they do anything internally in the body or did they just put it on the outside?
Honest truth, I don't know that much about embalming at all. He could answer that question.
Yeah, the Egyptians would take out all the internal organs, including the brain. People are eating, so I don't
know. Because that would
decompose
itself,
that.
Yeah. I know you're eating popcorn, but. What is important, biblically speaking, if I could use that terminology of biblically speaking, with quotes around it, maybe big giant quotes, it's the bones. It's the bones that matters. Not the body. This is the reason why we have at the end of this chapter that Joseph had to make sure they take his bones. So they didn't take the mummified body. They took the bones. Okay? That's very common in a lot of traditions, even today, when someone dies and the body actually finally decomposes. American Indians used to do this. When the body finally would decompose, they would take the bones and bury the bones. Not the body itself decomposed on the earth. But they just took the bones and they buried just the bones. That's the reason why sometimes you pick up, they dig up skeletons. All it is bones. Because that's what they buried. Because the dogs or cats or anything else would take away and chew the bones. They wanted to preserve the bones so they could bury the bones within the dirt. Now, it's a belief system. I don't understand all that. It doesn't matter. I just know that it's very fascinating to know that the bones were the ones that, if you ever gone to Israel, how many have been to Jerusalem? Okay, and Mount Olive is bones. It's a hill of bones. Dead people, and all it is in the graves, all the graves is bones, no flesh. The flesh has been already recomposed, and they take the bones and they bury them and put them inside those boxes. You know, so the boxes are kind of small. Have you ever seen them? The little boxes are very small because they just put the bones on the box. Or actually, it wasn't just a box, it was made of stone, so they wouldn't be deteriorating. So it's quite common, you know, we don't think of it that way, but because we live in this coast called America, and our world does not think of bones. We think of our body. When the body goes, get rid of everything. But how it's done, I don't have a great explanation of all that. You have to ask somebody more, I say, in understanding of that specific thing. And the 40 days, you know, it's interesting, verse 3, 40 days. 40 days is quite common biblically. Right? Remember 40 days and 40 nights, the rain? And then we remember the Messiah for 40 days and 40 nights. And then Ezekiel, 40 days and 40 nights with Judah. 40 days and 40 nights is a trial period. Even when Daniel talks about, like, it took him 40 days to prepare in order to go to what's called the mountain of God. So when he went there, he took him 40 days to prepare himself for going to the mountain. And when he got there, God says, what are you doing here? I'm not here. Go back home. Anyway, Daniel will get to that when that time comes. It's kind of a funny statement. Even the Messiah, remember he was there, he was after his, in the book of Acts, verse 1, verse 3, they use the word and his passion. It's really a word, we have a different meaning of it now in English language. But that word in Greek really means of his afflictions, of his suffering. After his affliction and after suffering, he was there for 40 days. So that's quite a common thing to use. Of course, then he asked Pharaoh for to take his father there. And Pharaoh, of course, said yes. And then all, of course, everyone went up there. And dropping down for... it's very funny. In verse 10, when they came to a threshing floor of Atah. I didn't look that word up. I really am sorry about that. Which is beyond Jordan, means on the other side of Jordan. In where? Well, it says that later on, it's where the a certain place where the grassy field, says there in verse 11, Abel Mizraim. It means the meadow or grassy area in which the Egyptians had this mourning for him, for his father. Yeah, but that's not where he buried him, but that's where they were. They were still in the other side of Jordan. Now they're coming back over across Jordan, and he was buried in the cave where Abraham and Isaac were buried. Now, very fascinated about those. I thought, as he's reading that, and I said, this is going to be very amazing when, quote, the resurrection comes. All these three men are going to be raised up at the same time, and their wives up at the same time. That's got to be a fantastic scene. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The word of God always talks about those three men. Even Yeshua talks about those three men. And it's very fascinating that when the resurrection comes, they're all up at the same time. I think they will recognize each other because they knew each other before. It'd be kind of cool when Jacob, brother, was, I think, about the age of 17, 15 or 17, when Abraham died. So he was fully aware of who his grandfather was. Then his brothers came and did something. And what did his brothers do? They were still, I mean, it's been a while now. They've been living in this area for 17 years. And they've seen that Joseph has been nice, kind, merciful, and has provided for them. They got a wonderful place to live and starting building homes and living there. And then they were troubled because they thought Joseph was going to, and the word is, hate them. And that's a legitimate statement, right? Means to oppose them or hold a grudge against them. Remember the commandment that Yeshua said? The second greatest commandment? And it's in where? What book? What book is it in? Oh my. Book of Leviticus. The 19th chapter. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you complete reading that, he says, you will hold no grudge against anybody or against your neighbor. That's a little different than, you know, hating. It's more of a grudge against, to hold a grudge against them or hold them back or to oppose them. This Hebrew word can do that also mean to oppose them, to go against them. So the word hate is kind of a strong word in our English language. But when God said he loved Jacob but hated Esau, he means he opposed Esau. He stopped him and didn't bless him, didn't provide for him. We'll talk a little bit more about Esau 2 weeks from now. Okay. And they sent a message. They didn't have enough in themselves to individually, any one of those remaining 11, to send and talk to Joseph. So they sent a messenger. I think it's gotten a little funny, but nonetheless, it's not really funny when you start looking at what the story is about. And they sent a message and said, for they died. So say ye unto Joseph, the one in this messenger, to forgive, I pray thee, now the trespasses of thy brethren for their sin that they did when they did bad or evil against you. And now, we pray you, forgive the trespasses of the servants of Elohim, thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. So they finally did show up. Why would you think he's crying? Why was he weeping and not them? Yes?
I think he was a little devastated that they still didn't get it. They still were afraid of him, and he had done everything he could possibly do to let them know that he knew it was from God, and yet they don't believe him.
Anybody else have any other thoughts? Very emotional. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm saying to Michael, you had something?
When they say a message to Joseph, they say, you know, the Jacob say to him, right? But is there anywhere in the Bible that says that Jacob told
them? No, it doesn't. But yeah. There's no reason for them to lie at this point. I don't have a problem with that. I'll continue on with this thing because I thought about that too, and I said, well, it's not really that important because we don't know every word that Jacob ever said. We only know his actions, his deeds sometimes. So I kind of have to hold back and say that's not necessarily true. And he said, if you as an individual person, right? And why would you, if someone that you had come to cherish, take care of, provide for, and love, and you, in your mind, because you already had told them when they first came down 17 years ago, don't hold this against yourselves. Don't judge yourself in that you did this to me. It wasn't you that did it to me. It was God. Right? Now, he's coming here, and these guys have not been able to put it out of their mind. Well, that may be good. Yes.
Mostly because now Jacob's dead. So, you know, now dad's gone. And so everything that he said will not be true anymore because dad was the reason why, you know, he was behaving himself.
I think, this is my personal opinion, my thoughts about this, okay? That's all it is, my thoughts. I think when Joseph heard them, and they are really didn't with inside themselves have the internal guts, because they still feared. Well, good that they did. Second most powerful man on the face of the earth at that point in time. That was their brother, who now has complete authority over them. And yet, at the same time, he took care of them for these 17 years, took care of their family for 17 years, provided for them with food, he gave them the things they needed, gave the land, gave to them so they could be able to do what they want to do with it. And it's like saying, that when they asked Jacob to forgive of the actions that they did toward him, and Jacob turned around and he says to them, and he says, inside, my thinking, that's all it is, that Jacob had asked. Jacob had asked. This is the reason why I'm looking back on this one. And they said, verse 17, that Jacob said that, forgive, I pray thee now, the transgressions of thy brethren and their sin. This is Jacob asking it, not the men. Do you understand what I'm saying? I look at this thing and say, wow, Jacob is turning to Joseph. Now Jacob is dead. It would indicate that Jacob didn't get a chance to tell Joseph that. Because Jacob lived in where? Land of Goshen. Where did Joseph live? In Egypt. He was the second most powerful man. He lived near the throne. He was second most powerful man on the throne. And so for his job wasn't to live with his brothers. His job was not to live with, he was still the overseer of all of Egypt. And his own people. So Joseph had a two-task thing. He took care of, quote, I'll put this in my improper phrase. He took care of his own and the Goyim. Right? But he took care of the Goyim first, then he took care of his own. Now at this point in time, 17 years later, I look at this thing and I say, this is fascinating, because Jacob was the one that asked. And Joseph responded by crying. Now, what is the reaction you would think about that? Your father is dead, and your brothers are coming to you and saying, Dad asked that you, Joseph, the second most powerful man, to forgive your brothers. Now that, to my mind, is deep. And that's why in Richard's mind, nobody else's, that's why he cried. It's because his father asked, and he was willing to do so with no problem. Yes.
It reminds me of when Messiah looked at Jerusalem and said, oh, I just want to gather you and take care of you, but you just won't have it. And he cried.
It's almost in parallel, but almost the opposite direction to one degree, where, remember when the Messiah died? He says, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And in a sense, Joseph is saying, or was told by his father, forgive them because they knew not what was going on. Now that's pretty powerful, though, I think, myself personally speaking. Okay? Because it's Jacob asks the question. Jacob asked the question, not Joseph's brothers. I find that powerful. This is the reason why I look at it a little differently on that statement. I think Jacob actually did ask that question. But he had to have his brothers. He had told his brothers, you make sure you go talk to him. Jacob didn't have, if Jacob went and he talked to Joseph, forgive your brothers, then it's just a story between Jacob and Joseph. But now it involves the brothers. I think that is a very powerful, my personal opinion, a very powerful thought and statement that came. Because it would be emptiness, in my personal mind, if someone comes up and says, by the way, I want you to forgive what my kids did against you. Okay, Dad, I will. But if the kids come up after he's dead and says, this is what Dad said. Now that's really strong, emotional. You understand what I'm saying? And that, I picture the Messiah here in the very same picture. Yes. Any more questions? Oh, yeah. The death of Jacob, that's what I put it. Yes, true. And the forgiveness did, yes.
And I don't remember if I read this in the Bible. I just, you know, remember. But I think Joseph only saw twice his family. When they bring it to Egypt. And
yes.
And when Israel died.
Yes.
When Jacob died. So they didn't have, like, the relationship. Because Yossi was the king.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's a perfect picture for Yeshua too.
Yeah.
Yeshua is securing the Gentiles.
There's a prophecy about the house of Judah. And it says, when they come to see who they killed, they will realize and weep because they killed one of their own children. Or brethren, and they will cry. And this is great, and repentance comes from that. Sincere, real repentance comes from that. So I don't think these brothers are trying to get out of it. I think they had to go do it. Because they themselves, loved by themselves, in my personal opinion, repented before Jacob. And Jacob affected because Joseph accepted it because of what Jacob had asked through his brothers. I think that's fantastic power. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before him in his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. I don't think it means now they are, you know, slaves, do what you want to do with me. No. I think they themselves of the 12 also, we saw their brother cry and weep because of what Jacob said. I feel there's a great lot of emotion. This is the reason why they fell down before him. Not because he was king of all of Israel, he's the second most powerful man, but because of who he was. And Jacob said to them, don't be afraid. Am I Elohim? And he says, but as for you, you thought you did this against me. And he says, no, it wasn't you that had me cast into this pit. It was God. It was Elohim. He's the one. And he said, he meant to do it unto good, to bring something to pass, to save someone's and save people's lives. Now, will you take a look at that, the Messiah? Same story. The Messiah, though, he actually was killed. And he said, don't hold this against them. He wasn't really telling God, don't grudge them. It was said for us to know. Because Yahshua said, I don't say anything or do anything out unless my Father has told me to do this or to say this. And so I know that the Father himself speaking, although the Father, quote, wasn't there, in a quote, they heard the words of God's, they heard the words of their Creator through their Messiah. who said, forgive them. We don't understand what's going on. Here, what happened? See, their mind was, will he forgive us? Well, Jacob said, go and tell him this. As if Jacob knew that Joseph was going to do that. And I thought, in my personal opinion, you know, I'm one of these people who see a different picture sometimes. It may not be true. But nonetheless, you know, don't be afraid. He says, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And this is what the Messiah is going to do when he comes and sets his feet upon this earth. He's not out to do vengeance. He's not out to do grudges. And I would not, you know, I would not say he would do this, but when someone comes, I think it's in one of the Psalms, I'm not quite sure, that when someone repents, there's like, what, 10,000 angels rejoicing? You know, they're rejoicing, but rejoicing how? Have you ever been so happy you cry? It's such a wonderful, beautiful story, and you are so relieved that the emotions come out. And you're not crying because you're sad or sorrowful. You're crying because, oh, this whole thing is gone, and you want to just praise and glorify God because now it's removed once and for all. And that's how, my personal opinion, I look at Joseph, why he wept. I'm not personally getting emotional stuff here, but you know, today is one of those days that I kind of get a little emotional. Forgive me about that one. And of course, he said, now when I die, I want you to do this, you know, that you make sure you take my bones back to the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 24. And so he had him, quote, taken. Oh, he was the most powerful man there. So you carry it through. Of course, the brothers didn't. They all died also. So it means their descendants, their children, would have to carry it on through. And of course, Jacob died. He was 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he went onto a coffin in Egypt. Now, it didn't say, now the word coffin doesn't mean pyramid. Coffin did not mean pyramid. That's where you put the bones. You put the bones in a coffin so you can carry the coffin somewhere. And he wanted those bones to be taken to where? Back into the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.